My dear heart dwellers, the Lord has come to me tonight and asked me to share His heart with those of you who are so bitterly disappointed. I came out of prayer and asked Him, Lord, where do you want me to start? He replied, what was your thinking a few moments ago? About the poor, discarded souls? Yes, begin there. My dear ones, I have heard so many of you crying out and wanting the Lord to come sooner, and oh, how I understand that. During my communion service this evening, the gospel reading was about the workers that were hired at the end of the day, but still received the same wage as those who worked through the heat of the day. Jesus told this parable, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius. In modern times, that would be the equivalent worth of about $50 for a day's labor. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also, go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again at noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? They answered, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go and work in my vineyard. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. Can you imagine this scene? The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came and received a denarius. Full day's wage, that's $50. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you've made them equal to us who've borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm so generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. That's Matthew 20. Now, many of you on this channel are a lot like me, birds of a feather, in the sense that the institutional churches rejected you for what they perceived was a flaw and disqualified you for ministry. Some of us had flaws that needed to be worked out over the years. I admit that. As a result, there are many among you who, when you were first saved, longed to do something for the Lord, but you were held back and passed over. This happened to me. Many of you are bitterly disappointed because you longed to serve God 20 years ago, but were disqualified by church cliques and thought of as unsuitable. Many of you didn't have the motivation to overcome these obstacles on your own, so you slid back into a comfort zone, feeling deep bitterness and disappointment. Life didn't get better for you. Doors didn't open, even though you studied and prayed just like everyone else. Now all you long for is to be taken out in the rapture and leave your failures and betrayals behind you. I'm seeing a pattern here with this gospel story. The workers that were judged as suitable were hired early in the morning. No doubt they formed a clique of sorts and were all similarly endowed. Then some that were passed over, Let me tell you, I know what it feels like to be passed over, the last person chosen for the team, and chosen not because they're wanted. The ones that were passed over first thing in the morning were waiting around when the owner of the vineyard came and saw value in them and put them to work. They were the second choice. This happened two more times until the fourth group went to work at 5. You see, the Lord hates injustice and social pigeonholing. He hates it. So here he is going to restore justice while the cliques get their just desserts as well. So Jesus told the foreman, call the last group first to be paid. These were the bottom of the barrel workers, the ones that were never part of a team, but always rejected. They had only worked for an hour, yet the Lord saw great value in them, so he began by paying them for a full day's work. I'm sure at this point the group that were hired in the morning were thinking, wow, we're going to get paid a lot of money. But as they watched in disbelief, the Lord called forth the other groups and gave them the same pay, and they began to wonder, surely he isn't going to pay us the same wage as those losers who only work for an hour. But much to their dismay, that's exactly what he did. Many of you were rejected because you didn't play the games and do the posturing to get in with the cliques. You were simple and pure and just couldn't bring yourselves to play the political game to get chosen. Let me tell you, the Lord knows your heart and he approves of you, and he has come to his vineyard for perhaps the final time and seeing you standing around, and he is commissioning you to rise up and work in his vineyard. But you're so beaten down and tired of life, there's little, if anything, left to give. But that's okay. He wasn't counting on what you could give anyway. He's counting on your yes and the faith that says, God is calling me, then he must be prepared to empower me. That's what he's looking for. I hear how tired and discouraged and fed up you are with life. I've heard that you've had enough failure and rejection for several lifetimes. I was once in the very same place. It was my mid-40s when Ezekiel and I began our ministry. We were rejected by the establishment and blackballed by the Catholic Church. But God gave us the grace to forgive and move on. We began very, very little. We fed people in the park in Santa Fe. We would go to the grocery stores and dumpsters and salvage food, clean and bag it, and then find families who also were living in the park and were too poor to buy their own food. We had just arrived there and were homeless too, so we ate the same food they did. From there, we ended up in a little outpost of drug dealers from Mexico, illegal immigrants and their families in the El Cerro Mission, coined by the locals El Pequeño Juarez, where we began prayer meetings, deliverances, a free clothing and household needs store, and counseling, as well as feeding the poorest families fresh produce and other things gleaned from the nearest town, Las Lunas. From there, a house of prayer took us under their wing and helped support us with 3 children being homeschooled because we were feeding the poor and holding prayer meetings. And other good Christians began supporting us regularly as well. The local newspaper did a little article on us, and these are the most humble beginnings. We had a few people who would send us money because they knew we were ministering everywhere we went. But we lived on maybe $200 to $300 a month with 3 children being homeschooled. We had nothing, just absolutely nothing, but our love and devotion to Jesus. When you obey and do the little things out of love for God and what matters to him, he promotes you. Every day you pray, you draw closer to him. Then you go out and serve. And you begin to see yourself as his servant, truly. you begin to realize you have a ministry and you are for real. Doesn't matter how the establishment blackballs you. All that matters is that he's happy with you. And by the way, isn't that the very reason you didn't want to join that clique in the first place? You wanted something more real, more simple, more like the original Jesus? So you've just been standing on the sidelines because you didn't want to get involved in that. So now you've lived these years and you're not doing anything. But the Lord is saying to you, why are you standing around? He's saying, I'll hire you. Get busy. Dear ones, I'm bringing this to you because I hear your fatigue and failure and unfulfilled lives. And I'm telling you, it doesn't have to be this way. The Lord of the harvest is calling you to his vineyard. You are not a fourth-rate worker. He's calling you to earn $50 an hour, while the clique only makes $5 an hour. There's another factor at work in the church right now. Those who started off doing the political posturing with all the programs and the big money and the education and alphabet soup after their names and all their laurels, they're watching their churches empty. People are leaving their churches because people aren't seeing the real Jesus. Now it's your turn to show them the real Jesus. The very group that disqualified you is packing their gear and walking out the door, while the Lord is giving you the mandate and you're walking in the door. You're literally passing each other in the hallway. Jesus is raising up the real, nitty-gritty, gutsy, non-political, non-posturing, real-deal disciples. He's calling you to rise up and live the Jesus you know intimately through prayer. Yes, you've tried, but you haven't even begun yet. God is going to sweep away all the failure baggage and hand you a new life if you're willing to rise up off your pallets and walk. You are qualified because you love him and him alone. You aren't interested in getting credit or money or being popular. All you want is to be with the love of your life. That's why you're so disappointed about the rapture. He's been hiding a whole generation of Christians that were rejected by the establishment, but continued to lead a hidden life of the little ones' deep devotion to him. Souls that are longing for him so deeply in love, they don't want to deal with the world at all. They just want out. Except if you love him that deeply, how can you turn a deaf ear to his cry for you to come and help him? He's not hiring out of the seminaries. He's hiring out of the streets. He wants the ones no one else wants, because you are the ones that love him to distraction and are disgusted with the way the world and the church is run. But you say, I'm not qualified. I have nothing. I'm old, tired, and sick. Hey, I'm 71 years old, plenty tired and sick, with fibromyalgia, on medication for it, and on oxygen. I'm a high school dropout and ostracized by every establishment I ever had anything to do with. I was just too radical for the norm. So if he can use me, he can use you. That is not the question. It's just that simple. But the real question is, do you love him more than yourself? Will you work with all your heart and give him a chance to raise you up? Are you willing to be made willing? He's calling the question on your lives, dear ones. You who have been longing for the rapture, he is bypassing all the red tape and asking, do you love me? And you say, yes, you know I love you. I can't wait to be with you. But he's asking you again. No, you didn't hear me. Do you really love me? Are you willing to die for me? Are you willing to get up out of your wheelchair and walk for me? Do you love me?